Hello, my friends. It's Thursday, January 22nd, 2026, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belleville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, your weekday morning wake and bake, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in Southern Oregon. On today's smoke session, let's talk about our ICE Gestapo kidnapping toddlers and breaking down doors. Also, more of Trump making a fool of us in Davos, Switzerland, and Jack Smith testifies this morning before Congress. But before we get to all the serious political stuff, we got time for three quick hits.
Are you stoned?
Are you stoned?
Are you stoned?
Or the hand of the producer.
Again. Frida's really an opera singer.
So I happened upon this last night, ABC TV special, not the American Broadcasting Corporation, but the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, from back in 1978, a TV special called Olivia, featuring Olivia Newton-John and ABBA and Andy Gibb, all three of them. And what you heard there at the beginning was the pre-show before they kicked into the first song. So the tape that's up on YouTube is apparently one from the control room, because it's got the beginning where they're all warming up and, you know, making opera jokes. And then at the end of the show, everybody applauds. They all kind of mix and mingle. It's really fascinating. And it's also quite a treat because you get the folks from ABBA singing background for Andy Gibb. You get Olivia Newton-John singing alongside with ABBA and Andy Gibb on her songs. It was just a treat. So I'm going to put a link to that up on the show notes if you want to see that special as well. Or you can just follow me on Blue Sky at RadicalRuss.com. I posted on that yesterday as well.
Hopelessly hooked on marijuana.
I don't spend all my money on marijuana.
What y'all doing? Just step aside and let me on in now.
Why you need him to do that? You big and strong enough to push past us?
Well, that wouldn't be too polite now, would it, Miss Annie? I don't know why I'm talking to you anyway. Smoke.
Don't talk to him. You're talking to me right now. Why you can't just walk your big ass up in here without an invite, huh? Go ahead. Admit to it.
Admit to what?
That you're dead.
That's a scene from the Ryan Coogler film Sinners, which I've been hearing about all year long. People have been raving about it in my social media feeds. I haven't heard one bad thing about it. And I've heard people say it's one of the greatest movies of all time, not just of 2025. And apparently the Academy agrees. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences released their Oscar nominations, and Sinners got 16 Oscar nominations. It's a new record. There's only 24 categories. They're nominated in 2 out of 3 categories for makeup and hairstyling, original score, original screenplay, casting, costume design, original song, production design, film editing, sound, visual effects, cinematography, actor in a leading role, actor in a supporting role, actress in a supporting role, directing, and best picture. Boy, I can tell the woke scolds at Fox News and the right-wing white Christian nationalists are going to have their hair on fire when Sinners goes and wins a whole slate of Oscar awards this Oscar season.
against her, will I?
It's a distinct possibility.
Thank you very, very much. Baseball being very, very good to me.
Yes, baseball been very, very good to Chico Escuela, but not so good to San Francisco Giants outfielder Jung-Hoo Lee, who was detained by ICE there in San Francisco, landing at the airport. His congressperson, Nancy Pelosi, is working on the issue here, but this portends some real nightmares coming up here for the United States of America, which is set to host the World Cup alongside Canada and Mexico, as well as the Olympics in 2028, and I just don't know how this is going to work. Already the World Cup has seen, I've seen something like 16,000 ticket cancellations from people, because who from a foreign country wants to come to the United States of America and cheer for their team, like Paraguay is playing the United States in the first round, I believe. Who from Paraguay wants to come here with their brown skin and their foreign accents and see masked, armed, battle-clad ICE agents at every location, at every airport, at every World Cup event, trying to track down the fans that would see it, trying to track down even the athletes? It's well past time the rest of the world puts the United States on a timeout. And it starts with boycotting these sports events. There needs to be a mass movement right now for people to be boycotting the World Cup in the United States and boycotting the Olympics in Los Angeles.
Papers, please.
Because Gestapo is arresting the wrong people.
Papers, please.
If they fall into the hands of the Gestapo, they can take reprisals against all the families.
Papers, please.
Concerned about the constitutionality of your Gestapo tactics, and frankly, so am I.
The papers, please.
You having fun being here?
Yeah.
Yeah? What? How old are you now?
I'm 3.
No.
Hmm?
You're 4. You turned 4.
I'm 4.
That's right, you're 4. What are you doing here?
Hmm?
Are you having fun?
Yes.
Hanging out with your great-grandma?
Yes.
Yes? Did you bring your truck?
Yes.
Yeah?
It's my little truck.
Yeah.
Big popcorn.
Yeah, I got a popcorn maker too.
I want some popcorn.
You want some popcorn?
Yes, I make popcorn.
We'll make some later.
Okay,
that'll be good. Are you on a trip? Are you on a vacation?
Trip.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got a shirt.
Yep. You're on vacation hanging out with great grandma and great grandpa.
I need to piss.
Yep. You're going to push the buttons there too and make some stuff to make some music. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Are you happy to be with your mama and your daddy?
Yes.
And you got a sister too, right?
Oh.
You got a sister?
Yes.
You like her?
What is that? Hope?
That's my bass.
My little bass?
Yeah, we'll play that later. That's the voice of my little great-grandson who's visiting my lady love and I from California. Just giving her mom a little bit of a break. You've heard the story on our podcast of how she was in a car crash and lost her pregnancy at just shy of 5 months. And we're still working on trying to secure an attorney to deal with the fallout from that. So when I read these headlines of ICE kidnapping a little 5-year-old named Liam, and I saw the pictures of that little boy, that could have been my great-grandson. He's just a year younger. He's Hispanic. His parents are Hispanic. His adopted father is a Chuuk Islander. So he's from outside the United States as well. And this is exactly what I had feared when Donald Trump won the election. Exactly why I quit the band that I was in. Exactly why I flew off the handle. Because I knew this day was coming. They were not secret about it. They want America to be a white-only English-speaking country. And I, like a whole lot of people out there, have mixed families. All of my grandkids and great-grandkids are Hispanic. Their mother, she's 21, with two kids. She's Hispanic. And thank God they're living in California at this point. But how much longer is it going to be with ICE having a budget that makes it the sixth largest military in the world by budget? They got 3,000 ICE agents in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now, an area, the Twin Cities area, that has something like 1,500 cops total. They outnumber the cops there. This is federal occupation of a blue state because they don't like how the people are standing up to ICE, how the people are documenting their crimes. As Eva puts it on Blue Sky, Eva.town. Bro, there's a GoFundMe to crowdfund attorney fees for a preschooler who was kidnapped by our federal government, shipped across state lines, and his senator is posting about high school hockey while every other elected official is debating whether to give a zillion more dollars to the kidnappers. That's pathetic. And it's where we're at right now and why so many people are disillusioned with politics altogether, disillusioned with the Democratic Party at this point. How obvious does it have to be that we are under Nazi occupation and there's actually debate as to whether or not to fund it? There's senators out there saying these ICE goons who have no problem waking up in the morning, putting on a mask and kidnapping a five-year-old to use as bait. They used the kid as bait. They took the kid to go knock on the door and had the kid asked if anyone is home so they'd open the door for the kid that then they could get in and arrest the dad. And then they ship the dad and the kid, I guess it's to Montana or Montana, Texas or someplace like that. I think it was the city was called Montana. It was in Texas. I don't know. But they're out of state. So their poor family and lawyers trying to get in touch with them have to go all the way across state lines and all the expense that incurs. This is where we're at. We are kidnapping toddlers and breaking down doors. The poor boy's name is Liam Adrian Cornejo Ramos. He's in pre-K. You've seen the photo. He's got his little blue bunny beanie on. His little backpack. Little flannel coat. Having to raise a GoFundMe just so they can get lawyers and be able to get the kid back home. We're doing this. Us, the United States of America, and it's not enough to say, well, I didn't vote for that. I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for Kamala. That's not enough. I voted for Kamala too, but this is being done in my name with my tax dollars, with the support of our elected representatives. At least I know mine, Representative Cliff Bentz, the only Republican in Oregon's delegation at the House or Senate. Oregon's only Republican. I called his office. I just want to know, had he made any public statements as to whether or not the United States should invade the territory of a fellow NATO ally? I come from a time when Republicans, you know, believed in some things, and one of them was that we had strong alliances. And we are men of our words. Not this Republican Party. The staffer had no idea representatives had said anything or would say anything. And while I have disagreements with Republicans on every single issue, pretty much, at least in the old days, I could believe that we all loved America, that we all wanted the best for America and what America stood for. But I don't believe that anymore. The people who are now still in that 37% that are supporting Donald Trump at this point are Nazis. They openly support Nazism. This is what this is. Plain and simple, we've got Nazi memes coming out of the Department of Fatherland Security. They're openly calling for the mass deportations now of 100 million people, which just so happens to be how many black and brown people there are in the United States of America. The ICE goons are now leading to massive resistance in Minneapolis, and kudos to the people of Minneapolis who are standing strong, who are organizing patrols, who are keeping their neighbors safe, who are organizing runs to the food pantry to be able to get food to immigrant families that are staying. It won't even leave the house. Won't even leave the house because we, our federal government, is terrorizing a major American city. And not just the Twin Cities. Apparently, this is all over Minneapolis and suburbs and all sorts of places. I got a few stories to get to on this. Let me just... First of all, there's a statewide shutdown being called for tomorrow, January 23rd, for the state of Minnesota to shut it down. Ice out, no work, no school, no shopping, statewide shutdown. Let's do it. It's time for general strikes. I've been saying this since Trump got reelected. It's time for general strikes. It's time to shut the shit down. It's the only tool we have. We're not in a parliamentary system. I see all these people internationally, you know, why won't you do something about your government? What should we do? Go out in massive protests and demand that the president resign? Because that's our only option. We don't have a recall system. We can't call for a special election. There's no votes of no confidence. Our next opportunity to do anything comes in the midterm elections. That's all we can do. That we've got this system set up that once you sign up for an election, you got to carry it to term. There's no aborting our bad presidents. Our founders, in their infinite wisdom, failed to include any sort of constitutional recall mechanism for the president of the United States. Oh, no, the impeachment, that'll be fine. We get half the House and 2/3 of the Senate to kick the guy out. Yeah, see how that has worked out. Not one president who's ever been impeached has been removed. You would have to have 67 senators to remove a president. And there's no way either party is going to get to 67 senators. Well, I should not speak so soon. Who knows what's lying ahead for us in the future. Maybe we end up with a one-party Duma. Like what they got in the Russian Federation these days. But this is what we need. Massive walkout strikes. Start it in Minneapolis. Start it for one day. Let's see this spread across the rest of the nation. Don't cross those picket lines in Minnesota either. Everybody stay in. Crash them. I'm saying this is taking place all over Minnesota, not just Minneapolis, St. Paul. This is Forest Lake. ICE is working with Forest Lake Police. Police are asking apartment complexes for access to buildings for possible medical emergencies shortly after they requested that ICE was in my building knocking on doors. Yeah, that's the other thing. If you're waiting for police departments, National Guard, and the U.S. military to honor their oaths to the Constitution, you're going to keep waiting. I love this thing that has been bandied about, you know, soldiers, no, they're not supposed to follow illegal orders. As if the person giving you the order is going to say, excuse me, soldier, I need you right now to go over there and shoot that woman in the head. And that would be illegal, but I need you to do it. It's never as clear cut as that. They're going to have all their lawyers and all of their Justice Department people and all their JAGs, because they went and sacked all of the ones that would have any sort of true integrity, they're going to have them tell those soldiers all those orders are legal. They're telling the ICE Gestapo right now that it's perfectly okay to bust down people's doors without having a valid judicial warrant, that all they need is their little administrative warrant. They were telling this to all of the ICE people, and a couple of ICE whistleblowers have blown the whistle on this. They cooked together this memo that explained, no, go ahead. You don't need to ask for, you don't need a warrant. You don't need probable cause. Just break down the door. Go get whoever you need to get. It's perfectly legal. Go ahead and do it. But they wouldn't let anyone keep a copy of that memo. They made everyone read the memo, look at it, memorize it. But you don't get to keep a copy. They made sure this was just passed down, hand to mouth, commander to commander to soldier. Oh, I'm sorry, goon to goon. Because they don't want any record keeping of this, because they know what they're doing is wrong. We've got an entire branch, an executive branch of the federal government, telling its armed goons the Fourth Amendment doesn't matter. The Fourth Amendment doesn't matter. And you know what the problem with the Fourth Amendment was, is it says that our right to be secure in our papers, persons, houses, and effects from unreasonable search and seizure, save but for a warrant with probable cause, shall not be violated. There's your mistake right there. Shall not be violated. You're supposed to say shall not be infringed when it's a constitutional amendment that's absolutely sacrosanct and can never be questioned, never be regulated. And shall not be infringed, shall not be violated. Oh, shit, we can do whatever we want with that one. Openly violating our Constitution. An entire branch. And then the other branch, the congressional branch, the legislative branch, not doing anything about it. In fact, debating how much more they should fund it. How much more money should we give? Oh, we shouldn't give them some money unless they have some more training, unless they have better body cameras on. Never mind that the whole purpose of the organization in its inception was evil, and now in its deployment is absolutely evil. They're kidnapping toddlers to use as bait. They are having three of their guys throw a guy down onto the pavement, a nonviolent observer, again, another constitutional right, the First Amendment they don't seem to give a shit about, throw him on the pavement while he's face down on the pavement with three guys crushing him. A fourth comes running in with the pepper spray canister and sprays it 4 inches away from the guy's face and then scurries away, all proud of himself. That's just torture. He was restrained by three people already. That's just torture. They delight in this. They were recruited for this. They were specifically looking for the kind of guys who get off on this. And you know they know it's wrong. Because they wear masks. Because they don't want to be identified. According to this post I got on the feed, some Trump administration officials are reportedly concerned that if states and cities pass laws requiring ICE agents to display visible identification and end anonymity, many agents could resign, and others might be publicly exposed over past misconduct, raising staffing and transparency issues. Yeah, we can't get enough goons to round up all the brown people if people know who they are, if it can find out that they were a cop that was busted many times before, if we could know that some of them were Proud Boys or pardoned January 6thers. Hell, Enrico Terrio is signed up with these guys. The goddamn Proud Boys that would come to Portland, and Terrio and his Proud Boys would come to Portland for a Black Lives Matter march or a gay pride march or whatever, and purposefully stir up shit, try to cause violence. Yeah, I can imagine it might be a little hard to get your staffing levels up to par when people know that you're a violent Nazi fascist. This is where we are now. I told you about the people in Minneapolis that are stepping up, putting together food deliveries to people that are holed up in their homes, trying to wait out whether or not the Gestapo is going to show up at their place. We've been hearing the tales of Palantir and data brokers that are putting together all these great little databases that let them know exactly which neighborhoods to go to and terrorize. And we know that they've got quotas. You know, Stephen Miller wants to deport 1 million people in the first year. They need 3,000 a day. And they're incentivized to just go get collars. Just go collar people, drag them in. That counts. Whether or not we keep them, we have to release them later. That doesn't matter. So just round up as many brown people, Hispanic people, black people you possibly can. And any of the observers nearby. Round them all up. Build up your numbers, ruin people's days at the least. How much more harm comes to them, the trauma, the terror, and the way they get tortured and humiliated by the guards who, again, delight in the sadism of it. But the people of Minnesota are standing tall, standing brave. Hell, they're going after Native Americans in Minnesota. I got Native American friends in Minnesota. Went to their last powwow, although it's not called a powwow now. It's called something else I can't remember off the top of my head. Lots of Native tribes there in Minnesota. And lots of money in those tribes as well. Lots of money from the casinos. And they're rounding up Native Americans. Immigration people rounding up Native Americans. How ironically dystopian. But the people in Minnesota are stepping up, and they've got these volunteers that are coordinating to bring food to people. And the story you get out of KARE 11 in Minnesota says that ICE is hanging out at the food pantries. You know, the volunteer charity food pantries that churches set up, nonprofits set up. You show up, you get in a line with a bunch of people, they give you a box, you got some potatoes, some rice-a-roni, maybe head of lettuce, you know, that kind of stuff. If I'm describing this accurately, it's because I've been at these food pantries. I have used food pantries many times in my life. What are you talking about? I was a broke musician. Come on. And a marijuana legalizer, for that matter. A lot of food pantries. ICE is staking them out. Staking out food pantries where people who are just too poor want to get a bite to eat, want to be able to feed their kids, and you're going to hang out there to scare them away. So they're not coming to the food pantry, so they organized volunteers to go out, take food out to people. Well, now ICE is following those volunteers. ICE is following and intimidating these volunteers. According to the story, volunteers have been tailed by ICE, and that agents have even shown up at her residence, being the director of this food pantry, because some of the delivery vans they use are registered in her name. They've seen a decrease of 50 to 80% fewer visitors because of ICE, these food pantries. People going without food, people going without meals, kids being starved, being terrorized, being denied education, being tear gassed, losing consciousness. Heard that story as well. This is just horror that is being unleashed on Minnesota. And folks, this is just the test ground. This is just where they're starting. They're just getting rolling here. Boy, get this next budget resolution passed, get a whole bunch more money, get more of those ICE boots on the streets. They'll be in every major American city that has any sort of democratic voting pattern and decent amount of minority population. Everyone. You'll just have to get, no matter where you go in America, you're going to see these ICE goons. Kidnapping toddlers and breaking down doors. And now they've gone and arrested Pam Bondi. The attorney general has announced the arrest of that civil rights activist. Her name is Nakima Levi Armstrong. Minneapolis Star Tribune is reporting that they arrested her in connection with the disruption of that church service. And they want to charge her under, I think it was called the FACE Act, something like that. There's a federal act that prevents the disruption of people in places of worship. And I discussed this story on an earlier podcast and said I didn't think the protest was a very good idea. Number one, you give Fox News and all the right-wing talking heads who have this war on Christians mentality, you give their grievance some actual footage. That's not good, not very tactical. But two, I just think it's wrong. I just think it's wrong to protest in a school, a hospital, or a church. Outside them, sure. But some places should be sacred, I think. Anyway, I don't think she should have to serve time. I think this prosecution is politically motivated. I think in other circumstances, someone who did something similar would have some sort of settlement with the government. But they want to make an example of her. Of course, she's a black activist, so that, you know, double points for them, war on Christians, and it was the bad Black Lives Matter people. So she's going to be facing this federal act. She says, in her defense, that it's going to be hard to prove that because she wasn't trying to disrupt any sort of church service. It was one set of Christians talking to another set of Christians about how those sets of Christians were being bad Christians. So it was all part of the religious service. I don't know. That's a little too cute by half, but I'll keep you posted as to what happens in this situation. It's just a terrible chapter in American history, and for it to be in our semi-quincentennial year is even more sad. I weep for what we've become as Americans and what the rest of the world is thinking of us.
And we have something totally batshit crazy for you guys today.
I'm saying batshit crazy things.
This is batshit crazy.
The fact that I am running a country is a batshit crazy.
Well, Donald Trump concluded his time in Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum, making an utter fool out of this country and causing the rest of the world to absolutely reevaluate their alliances, their reliance on the U.S. dollar as the global world currency, etc. Basically, the entire world order is being upended for this fool. And he had another foolish thing to say, ignorant of history. We played you the clip yesterday where he told a room full of people in Switzerland that without the United States in World War II, they'd all be speaking German in Switzerland, where the majority of them speak German. Well, he did it again. I got another clip I just have to play for you.
But the problem with NATO is that we'll be there for them 100%. But I'm not sure that they'd be there for us if we gave them the call.
You absolute babbling idiot, shit-gibbon, pancake makeup, comb-over, syphilitic brain loser asshole. What the fuck? Good God, man. The only time in the entire history of NATO that Article 5 has been invoked, the article that says an attack on one NATO ally is an attack on all NATO allies, was after 9/11, when Article 5 was invoked because the United States was attacked, and then the NATO allies stood by our side, helped militarily, ended up going to Afghanistan, many of them following along with our war on brown people who didn't have anything to do with 9/11, got their own soldiers killed. The only time Article 5 has ever been invoked was for the United States of America. The United States called and NATO responded. And here we are disrespecting NATO. Apparently, yesterday was Taco Wednesday. After I'd concluded the podcast, I discovered that Trump always chickens out. He chickened out on Greenland because, well, what do you know? People banded together and stood up against the bully. They actually told him no. They actually showed some force. They put some boots on the ground, Denmark and Finland and Norway, UK and France, sending soldiers to Denmark, making the implicit promise that if you put American boots on the ground here, we will shed American blood. You will take soldiers home in body bags. And, you know, Trump probably won't show up to their funeral or anything. But made it obvious to this guy that they were not going to roll over. They're not going to be intimidated, not going to be talked out of it, bought into it. Nothing. That they were going to stand up against this bully. And what do you know? He backed down. He tried to bully him with tariffs. Oh, I'm going to tariff all you guys that are going to Greenland. Oh, yeah? Well, we'll pull out the economic bazooka. We'll do a full 100% revocation of American markets in the European space. We will decimate your economy. We'll start selling your treasury bonds. The Danes already have. Denmark's already sold some of the treasury bonds. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next few months that we start seeing these countries in Europe saying, you know what, we need to not renew these leases on these military bases. We maybe need to expedite the removal of all these American troops in our midst. If he goes full bore, if once again the Epstein files have any shot of being released, he'll go full bore World War III and have all these planes and tanks and soldiers sitting right here inside Germany, inside Japan, all over Europe. Hell, if I was Europe, I'd be getting us the hell out. We have yet to see how this is going to ripple through the rest of the geopolitical alliances, but I would not be surprised to start seeing bases being removed all over the world. I wouldn't be surprised to see these countries start to not rely on the United States dollar, start turning to the euro. I would not at all be surprised to see them starting to pull out of treaties and agreements, starting to opt out of the security sharing. You heard this story, right? The absolute treachery that could get American soldiers killed. This is where the French intelligence, apparently working with the Ukrainians, planted some false security information, false strategic information about Ukraine, and let the United States in on that information. What do you know? Vladimir Putin went and acted on that information, this false information. This is something to do in spycraft where they, you know, try to see where the leak is. Who's the rat? Who's the mole? It's us. Now Europe, depending on its own sovereignty, its own safety from the Russian bear that has had its eyes on Eastern Europe ever since the fall of the Soviet Empire, that believes it's their destiny, manifest destiny, to conquer all of the continent. They've got to fight against this guy. They've got to worry about their own countries, their own legacies, their own future generations, knowing that the number one global military superpower in the world that has bases on their own soil is aligned with this guy. That's got to be unnerving for the rest of the world, I'd imagine. Making a fool of us in Davos. I'm glad he backed off on the threats to Greenland. For now, you know he still wants it. You just got to move on to the next distraction. Whatever it is that keeps the Epstein files safe and secure. The only place that's safe in America these days is the Epstein files.
One is either an honorable man or one is not.
I recognized you for an honorable man the first minute I saw you.
An honorable man.
You're an honorable man.
An honorable man whose boots you are not worthy to kiss.
Lucky for you, I am an honorable man.
So Jack Smith, the special counsel who was denied his opportunity to prosecute Donald Trump for the Mar-a-Lago documents theft and the insurrection of January 6th, finally was allowed to testify in public today in Congress, and I've got one clip here to play for you. This is Jack Smith's opening statement.
President Trump was charged because the evidence established that he willfully broke the law, the very laws he took an oath to uphold. Grand juries in two separate districts reached this conclusion based on his actions, as alleged in the indictments they returned. Rather than accept his defeat in the 2020 election, President Trump engaged in a criminal scheme to overturn the results and prevent the lawful transfer of power. After leaving office in January of 21, President Trump illegally kept classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago social club and repeatedly tried to obstruct justice to conceal his continued retention of those documents. Highly sensitive national security information was held in a ballroom and a bathroom. As I testify before the committee today, I want to be clear. I stand by my decisions as special counsel, including the decision to bring charges against President Trump. Our investigation developed proof beyond a reasonable doubt that President Trump engaged in criminal activity. If asked whether to prosecute a former president based on the same facts today, I would do so regardless of whether that president was a Democrat or a Republican. No one should be above the law in this country, and the law required that he be held to account, so that is what I did. To have done otherwise on the facts of these cases would have been to shirk my duties as a prosecutor and as a public servant, of which I had no intention of doing.
First of all, kudos to Jack Smith for his bold statements and clear, steely resolve in getting the truth out in front of the American people. You got to love this guy. He reminds me, he's that kind of untouchable Elliot Ness kind of character, just straight from the hip. I mean, guy's name's Jack Smith. Can't get any more straight shooter than that. Jack Smith. The fact that he was stymied from being able to begin an honorable prosecution of the greatest criminal to ever inhabit the White House is one of the greatest failings of our time. And to me, it's another answer to these folks internationally. They keep saying, you know, why take down your government? Why don't you do more? Why don't you do something? You're supposed to have that Second Amendment to take down the tyrannical government, which, look, a lot of us recognize the Second Amendment for what it really is built in the era of having slave patrols to keep the black population down, make sure they didn't revolt like the Haitians did. And today, it's also for, you know, guys that like to go hunting, guys that enjoy shooting as sport, and people that want to protect themselves from criminals and crazy people that might be in the city or way out in the country. There's a lot of nuance and discussion we could have about the Second Amendment, and I'm not going to have that right here. The point being that we're not going to take our Second Amendment for what the jingoistic cowboys always said it was. We got to take down our tyrannical government. I've always laughed at that. I think Neil Brennan has the best set on that. He says there ought to be a competition between all the Confederate cosplayer militia types that want to have their Second Amendment rifles to, you know, take down the tyrannical government and the army and have, you know, here's Private Johnson, who's in a bunker in somewhere in Nevada controlling a Reaper drone that takes all 100 of them out. You know, like that's never been a thing. Maybe in your, you know, ball and musket days, that was a thing that, okay, if the government got too uppity, we could take it down with our muskets. Not anymore. Hell, they got the Boston Dynamics robots. They got drones. They got mine-resistant, armor-protected vehicles. Come on now. I'm supposed to get together with, you know, the 20 guys in the neighborhood, and we take our shotguns, long rifles, and AR-15s, and some 9mm, and we're going to go, what? March down to Washington? Come on now. That's not even in the era of realism. But to the point that the international audience makes about why won't we do anything, what's going on, why aren't we rebelling? In a sense, we've been taught, you know, I said it yesterday, we have to take our elections to term. We don't have abortion for bad terms. We don't have recalls and special elections like y'all have in parliamentary systems. Votes of no confidence and such. Boy, I wish we did. But we don't, and we've been taught to adhere to that system because that's that system that keeps us from chaos and anarchy, at least until now. So, when we had the first bout of Trump, and all this shit happened, and leading up all the way up to COVID, a million people dying, and just the economy going to hell, there were many of us who recognized that going back to normal, aka democratic normal, Clintonian normal, Obamian normal, was not going to do it because that normal is what got us to Trump. That normal is what led to the dissatisfaction that allowed a populist demagogue to attain power. That was the normal that decimated our labor base, the normal that cozied up to Wall Street, the normal that have all these tech companies that are in their pocket, the normal that's bought off by AIPAC and the Israeli lobby. That's not the normal we wanted to get back to. Many of us saw this all the way going back to the end of Obama's terms when it came time for the 2016 election. We were supporting Bernie Sanders because here was not normal. Here was some guy who's actually saying, hey, here's a government that ought to work for the people and take down the billionaires. Hey, what an idea. Doing things exactly the opposite of what we've been doing before. And that, of course, didn't turn out. We end up with Hillary Clinton getting the nomination, and that led to Donald Trump getting the presidency. But after that, many of us saw the disaster of Trump, kind of thought, okay, maybe people will get it now. Maybe they'll see that the reason Trump was popular is the same reason that Bernie was popular, in a sense, in that both sides of them were saying the normal wasn't working and we needed to have populist solutions. Of course, that was Trumpian, you know, sales talk to get what he wanted. Never meant any of that shit. He doesn't give a shit about the common person. He's a billionaire with a gold toilet, for God's sake. But that was at least a similar reasoning for their both of their ascents. So come 2020, there were many of us once again. Here's Bernie once again. Hey, here's something different. Here's taking on the big moneyed interests. Here's upending the status quo. And it was popular. And he was winning the first caucus in Iowa. And he was winning in New Hampshire. And that's when all the Democratic establishment, oh my God, we can't do that. We've got to get back to normal. Who's the most normal guy we can pick? Let's all line up behind Joe Biden. Jim Clyburn says we ought to all line up behind Joe Biden. Old, safe, reliable, known quantity Joe. Known quantity to me, for sure, as Drug War Joe Biden, one of the greatest architects of all of the worst policies of the drug war that I dedicated an entire career to fighting. Drug War Joe. Everybody got behind him. Can't go for the gay guy. Can't go for Buttigieg. No. We can't go for the woman. Can't go for Elizabeth Warren. No, we can't. Can't go for the black woman, Kamala Harris. No, no, no. Had to be the old, safe, white guy. The very avatar of the status quo, Joe Biden. Which was fine. Those of us on the far left, I guess I'm on the far left in that regard. Okay. Okay, vote blue no matter who. That's fine. We'll all get together. It's existential. Donald Trump must not be reelected. We'll all get behind Joe Biden. And we did. Gave him a record win. Gave him the first guy to get 80 million votes, I believe. Gave him a record win. And all we needed then was prosecution. I believe many of us voted for Joe Biden not because we were looking forward to Bidenomics or anything like that. We were looking to the end of MAGA, the end of Trumpism. We were voting to end Trump. And they absolutely dropped the ball. Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland's going to go down in my history books as one of the worst villains of this entire era. Because we wanted to get back to normal. Trump made it all seem like the Justice Department would be his own personal lawyers settling his own vendettas, and we wouldn't want to appear to be that way. We need to do things by the book and build our case from the ground up and cross our T's and dot our I's. And look what we got. Look what happened. It allowed Trump to fester, to boil, to sprout again. At a time right after January 6th, when he was held in such utter low contempt, he could have been removed in that second impeachment. But I think a lot of the Republicans were like, "Well, he'll lose the election. He lost the election. You know, why should we anger his supporters who might, you know, firebomb our homes? Let's just let him. He'll go away." Nobody ever took the opportunity to finally put him out, to finally get him out of our public life. After we had voted for Biden, after we'd voted for the end of Trumpism, for the next 4 years, while Biden was still president, it was like Trump was still around, like Trump was still in charge of stuff. It felt that way. And then when it comes around to the next election, and inflation has kicked our butts, and Biden hasn't done a very good job of selling his accomplishments, and 2 years in, he seems to be an old doddering man, not giving public appearances, the exact opposite of the television, attention, social media equation that we live under these days, of which Donald Trump is a master. People felt it went back to normal, didn't it? Went back to normal. Minimum wage isn't going up. Student loans aren't getting canceled. We're all shackled to debt. We all can't get ahead. We're not going to do better than our parents. And add to that, they're going to have this massive, massive destruction of Gaza. The intentional ethnic cleansing of that land. And both parties are for it. So, all right, what's the point? You depress turnout among your base. You go out and campaign with Liz Cheney. You emphasize how centrist you are and how tough on the border you'll be. Well, is there a Democrat in the race? Is there a Democrat I can vote for? Now, to be fair, I voted for Harris. I enthusiastically supported Harris because, again, I was in the same place I had to be with Hillary Clinton in 2016. Look, you gotta vote for the lady or we're fucked. And so here's Jack Smith testifying. Finally, the truth gets to come out. I mean, and again, how the rest of the world must see us, where, you know, South Korea, I think, just sentenced their president to 23 years. Was that what I saw? I thought he was up for the death penalty as well. Don't quote me on the numbers. I'm not exactly sure. This is a stoner podcast after all. But they major sentence for the South Korean president who imposed martial law, tried a coup. Major sentence for Jair Bolsonaro down there in Brazil for doing his own January 6th. Every other country seems to have figured out how to hold its powerful leaders accountable, how to keep its rich people in check. Not the United States of America. And it's going to be the death of us. We are slowly strangling under this wealth inequality. Elon Musk on his way to becoming the first trillionaire. Our minds can't even conceive of a trillion. It's a million million. That's what a trillion is. A million million. Imagine what $1 million would do in your life. And imagine that for a million people. When I was growing up, my entire state of Idaho had 1 million people. It's up to like 1.8 or 9 now, I think. But imagine an entire state's worth of people, each getting $1 million. That's a trillion. It's just going to be the death of us. So I'm going to wrap up. Kudos to Jack Smith again for his testimony. Maybe I'll have some more clips from it tomorrow. And it goes down smooth. But of course, that's all the time we've got for the show today. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. News, music, video clips, and social media posts are reproduced under fair use copyright laws for commentary and analysis. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by Russ Boom Boom Belville.
What's the boom boom for?
Boom, boom, boom.
Which brings us to our post-credits scene.
Is that absolutely necessary?
Is that absolutely necessary?
Is that absolutely necessary?
Okay, for PCS here, I wanted to give a shout-out to my former intern and good friend, Calico Castile, who keeps me apprised of what's happening in the north part of our state, up there in Portland, Oregon, where there have been many ongoing protests against the ICE facility. It's there on McAdam Boulevard, and there's been some scenes there with the tear gas. That's where we had the Portland Frogs were showing up and so forth. And Coleco's working with, for APANO Action Fund, APANO AF, and doing all sorts of civil rights work there in Portland, Oregon. And I saw a post come across, and it had to do with the ICE facility there and the efforts by activists to get ICE kicked out of Portland. And Coleco remarked that immigrants' rights groups do not want the ICE facility kicked out of the McAdam facility in Portland. Oh, like what? I had to text him, like, you know, answered him, replied on Blue Sky, don't want them gone? Like, did you make a typo or something? And so he led me to this post, and I'm just going to read it. A post from Kat Mahoney, who's at kmahoneylaw.com. So I'm going to assume a legal person, lawyer perhaps, who's working in this area with the immigrants, and makes a very compelling case as to why the ICE facility should stay in Portland. Kat writes, "The push to kick ICE out of the building on McAdam Avenue in Portland has become a major be careful what you wish for moment. The city started trying to yank their land use permit in late 2025. Look, it would be great if ICE and other immigration deporting elements did not exist. Before ICE, There was INS that would chase people literally down the streets. I have friends who ran from them in the 80s. This isn't new. Anyway, if the Portland office closes, detainees won't just be released. They'll likely be shipped to the massive facility in Tacoma, Washington. That makes it way harder for local families to visit or for Portland lawyers to get them out. Even without a local office, mandatory check-ins and court dates don't just disappear. If the nearest office is suddenly hundreds of miles away, immigrants have to miss work and find childcare. If they don't show up, it could mean immediate deportation. Right now, legal aid groups can set up right outside the building to help people the second they're picked up. If operations move to a remote or hidden spot, it becomes much harder to track who is even in custody. Now, this doesn't mean the violence here and in other cities by these ICE agents is okay. January 8, 2026, U.S. Border Patrol agents shot and wounded two people during a traffic stop in East Portland. Federal agents used chemicals and projectiles against demonstrators often. The violence committed by these agents is a direct threat to the people who live here, everyone who lives here. We need to abolish ICE, not just move their locations. And I appreciate that. Again, you can follow Kat Mahoney at kmahoneylaw.com, katmahoneylaw.com, the source for that post on Blue Sky, and an interesting nuance on the fight to remove ICE from our cities and these buildings in which they are doing horrible things to people. I would have never thought of it that way, obviously, from the opening of the segment. But yeah, it does make a lot of sense. It's sad that they are doing what they're doing, but better they're doing it closer to where we can help. And I guess we can continue to protest there as well. You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as RadicalRuss.com and nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at RadicalRuss.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.